Hello.
And welcome back.
Welcome back to Stuff We Like, Season 2.
Season 2, we are back, finally.
We're back, we're energized.
Yes.
We're refreshed.
After a long break.
A long hiatus.
Yes.
Partly my fault, partly your fault.
I don't think anyone's to blame for our break, actually. Do you want to tell our listeners what we have been up to since we last spoke to everyone?
In a nutshell, we've moved country.
We have moved countries during a pandemic. And how was that?
How was that? Exhausting, actually.
Exhausting. Was it fun? Perhaps not.
It was quite funny to think back on it now. We did have lots of funny moments, but it was, I think, grueling is the word. When we were actually in the throes of it, we were just very, very, very tired.
I think grueling is the word. To think that moving houses is already a stressful event. If you add that to like moving countries, it's even more stressful. If you just cover everything with a pandemic, it's almost inexplicable how difficult it is. We moved from Lisbon to London, back to London after our 6 month
it's like a 6 month
journey.
Spring break.
Spring break in Lisbon, let's call it that way. We moved back to an empty apartment.
So an unfurnished, empty apartment, yeah.
So we had to organize for everything to be delivered, like, basically the day after we arrived. Quarantine wasn't fun. Lockdown is never fun. But we've made it. We're in 2021, January 2021. We're back. And we took this time to really think about what we wanted to do for the podcast. We really enjoyed doing this podcast, but we didn't want to do it just for the sake of it. And I think we took this time to move countries, settle down, obviously decorate the house. Then Christmas came and went.
Tier 4 came and went. Lockdown 3.0 came and went.
I don't even know how many lockdowns we've had in the meantime. But we really wanted to take this opportunity to also be like kind to ourselves and do things that we enjoy when we have the mental capacity and energy to do it.
Well said.
Thank you. I didn't write it down, but I could lie and say yes, that was scripted, which it wasn't. So we were thinking about season two. We're thinking that we're probably going to do another 6 episodes for season two. Sounds like a good solid round
six
number.
6 is solid. That's like a mini series on Netflix type length.
Yes, or a series on BBC.
Yeah.
Like the one we watched,
Giri Haji. Has anyone watched Giri Haji? Because we have some serious thoughts about that.
That's for episode two.
Okay, let's save
episode
that.
Episode two.
Teaser. That's a spoiler.
We will talk about TV shows in episode two. But in episode one, we'll talk about also something that we are very passionate about, which is
books. Ooh, that was well timed.
Synchronized. So we'll be talking about the books that we've read in 2020. And 2020 was awful for a lot of people for a lot of reasons. But in terms of reading, we crushed it.
I had a cracking year for books. Oh. I have to say, I smashed my challenge. I wanted to read 20 books and I read 22.
Well done.
Thank you.
And I wanted to read 12 books and I read 24.
Wow.
I like to set the bar,
you set the
really
bar low
so that I can then achieve it. To be fair, out of these 24 books, there was one that I didn't read till the end, that I didn't finish, which was a book called American Dirt. And I think it's quite telling when the word dirt is on the title, because that book is just dirt. You can just give that one a miss. Let's leave it at that. But we can talk about the books that we've read. So we're going to go, maybe Jen, you can go first and pick maybe one or two books that had an impact on you in 2020.
Sure. I read so many good ones. I felt like I had a really, really good year for books. So there were only a couple that I would probably miss out if I was doing it again, or I wouldn't recommend. Actually, looking at it, there's literally so many here. So yeah, I had a really good year.
By the way, if you guys want to follow us on Goodreads,
that's the place.
You can find all the books we read in the past 2020, or
all our
going
reviews
back,
as
all
well.
The reviews, because that was actually one of my 2020 resolutions, was to start reviewing all the books I read.
We do that now.
And I did it. Because it really annoys me when I go back and check a book from like 2017 and gave it like 3 stars and I'm like, I can't remember why. Because my memory is just not that great as I age. So
telling.
I know. So now I'm writing reviews, but go on. Sorry, I cut you off.
No, you introduced Goodreads to me, and just quickly, not that this is sponsored or anything, but
also because they're Amazon. So.
Yeah, but I have to say Goodreads is very good. Number one for me remembering which books I want to read, because I always see books everywhere and I'm like, oh, I want to read that, I want to read that, and before I just had like a note on my phone or something, but on this one you can record them, and it's very good for, like you said, the reviews thing. And now I do review everything I read, and it's really nice actually if you go back or if someone asks your opinion about something, I can see exactly what I thought of the book, so it's a really nice thing to do. But going back to the first one, I'll recommend the second book I read, which was The Dutch House by Anne Patchett. I don't think you've read that yet.
I don't think I did.
Oh my word. It was, so funnily enough, I got introduced to Anne Patchett. I can't remember actually. I think it was someone I followed on Instagram. However, she's a fiction writer, but she's got one nonfiction book, which I don't think you've read either. And it's called This is the Story of a Happy Marriage or something like that. I'll look up the title and put it in the description box. But so I first read her nonfiction, which I thought was so good. It's just like a collection of essays, and it was just like really well written. And I was like, oh, if I like her nonfiction, I'm pretty sure I'll like her
chances
fiction.
Yep.
But it's weird because I feel like normally you'd go the other way around. Anyway, when I read The Dutch House, so this is her first fiction book that I read. So good. It's basically a story about a brother and sister, and the house that they live in as children, and that they then go on to lose. And the kind of house is the grounding thing in the book. And actually, shall I read my review of it?
Go for it.
I'm just thinking. So, oh, look, there you go. I've got all the details I need. So I gave it 5 stars.
All right. Put
there
your,
you go.
Your TV voice
this
on.
This is my TV voice. Okay, this is my review.
Speak to the mic.
There you go. I've only ever read nonfiction by Anne Patchett. In brackets, This is the Story of a Happy Marriage. There you go, I was right.
are you praising yourself now? Okay.
Carrying on. Which I loved, and for some reason I was worried I wouldn't like her fiction, but I was so happy to be proved entirely wrong. This book captured me from start to finish. The Dutch House became vividly real in my imagination. Ooh, there's a spoiler here. I'm not going to read that line.
No, please do.
No, I'm not. And then I round it off by saying, I liked how it all came good in the end. I will definitely be reading more fiction by Anne Patchett. And that's true because I also read another book by her in 2020. So to sum up, if you like, if you kind of like intergenerational stories about families, about tight-knit families and kind of what happens to them throughout their lives, she's a really good author.
Good. And it's non-fiction, you said?
No, this is fiction.
Oh, this
The Dutch
one is
House.
Fiction.
But the first one I read by her, This is the Story of a Happy Marriage, is nonfiction, also a cracking book.
Good. So, I mean, 2020 was really, really good in terms of books. It's hard to pick my first one. I think I'm going to pick nonfiction.
Oh, mix it up.
I'm going to mix it up. Looking at the list of books I read, there's a few that I was like not planning on reading, and it just sort of happened, and they were really, really good. But that's not the case with this one. So this one is... Maybe You Should Talk to Someone, which is...
Oh!
There you go. I think that's my review. Oh! It's really, really good. It's called Maybe You Should Talk to Someone, A Therapist, Her Therapist, and Our Lives Revealed by Laurie Gottlieb. And I came across this book because I was listening to a psychology podcast, and she was being interviewed. And I always just thought it was fascinating. Obviously, my background being in psychology, I was very interested in seeing to hear what she had to say. I think it was on The Armchair Expert, the podcast. Can't remember now. But yeah, it was almost a year ago now. And I bought the book, and let me tell you, it's just amazing. Like, I felt like, basically, as I was reading, I had to like write down every sentence pretty much, because it was just, it made so much sense to me.
Mm.
And it's things that I wish I knew, especially when you're like, feeling down, or you're going through like some major change in your life or whatever, there was so much wisdom there. And it also made it sound like, or made it okay for you to be vulnerable and accept your vulnerability as well, which I really, really enjoyed. And I mean, following on Jen's footsteps, I'm gonna
read your review. That's a really good idea, so you can practice what we preach about.
I feel like my review is going to be, or my reviews in general are going to be like cringeworthy.
Mine are really gushing.
So I'm gonna like apologize,
preface it with sorry about the cringe.
Yeah, that's probably like too much here, but here we go. I found this book honest and genuine, which is also what we would expect to find from a book, but I found this book honest and genuine, especially when depicting the things that make us all more vulnerable, not just the good stuff. Her quest for meaning in her career made me revisit some of the concepts and theories I learned in university. It made me want to go back to the field of psychotherapy myself. Very good and addictive read, and I really want to know what John's show is. Well, John is...
Ooh, yeah. John, oh my God, we still haven't found that out.
No, because obviously she uses fake names when she's telling the stories of her patients. But basically, John is one of her patients, someone that's not very very keen on counseling. And he is a Hollywood producer, and he's producing a very famous TV show in America, obviously Hollywood. And I couldn't, like, for the life of me, figure out which one it was, and I really want to know which show it was, because I'm pretty sure I know about it, or I've even watched it. So
you probably do, but I think she's done it really cleverly. Yeah. Obviously
to protect
confidentiality, like, yeah. So she's done it in such a way that no one can guess.
I think it was a very powerful book. Some sentences stayed with me. One was the only way out is through. I love that one.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when you're like in a tough situation, whatever it is, like whether that's a work, in a relationship, in your personal life. It's just so powerful. Like, the only way out is through. There's no point going back. There's no point, like, just get stuck. You just gotta keep walking. I highly recommend that one, because I think everyone's gonna read it in like a week or even less than that. It's so easy and so addictive to read. So I highly recommend that one.
Over to me. Well, I would totally agree with that, because I read it. I think I read it straight after you.
Oh, copycat.
So good. I'm just looking at my list. We've got a lot of overlap this year, I feel like, haven't we? Because I feel like we went through a period where one of us would read something and then pass it straight to the other.
We're kind
of
boring like that, aren't we?
Well, it, you know, means we can discuss them afterwards. Okay, the next one I will recommend. I'll go for a non-fiction one as well then.
Shall we intertwine fiction with non-fiction as we go through our books?
Yeah, we can do.
Okay, you seem a bit surprised by my suggestion. You're gonna have to do it.
No, but I just thought I might do a non-fiction one as well.
Go for it. So I mean like in your book, so you did fiction before, so now you do non-fiction.
Yeah, now I'm gonna do non-fiction. So the one I will recommend, oh, actually I only gave it 3.5 stars. How funny. No, but looking back, I really did enjoy it. Interesting.
Did you?
Yeah, I did. Okay. I will recommend Wow, No Thank You by Samantha Irby. And she is, I think she started off as a blogger and just wrote kind of very, is acerbic the right word I'm looking for? Blogs. It might be completely the wrong word.
I have no idea what you're
talking which case,
about.
That's very embarrassing. But very,
we'll
kind
edit
of.
We'll this bit out, don't worry.
Very. She wrote really kind of, it's like a collection of essays, but she sort of comments on like pop culture, and she's just very funny and very self-deprecating. And if you like essay style things, they're quite like outrageous and quite funny, then you'll probably like her. She's got two others. I think this is like the most recent one. She's got two older ones, which I do want to read. So I gave it 3.5 stars. I'll read my review. I'm surprised now, because look, I am recommending it. So here we go. This is what I said about it. This was an addictive read. As an introvert, I could seriously identify with Irby's routine of getting ready to go out. I can see how some people would feel the essays are a bit try hard, but I didn't feel that way. I found them funny and laughed out loud a couple of times. You need to have a similar sense of humor to enjoy the book. There you go. So that's what I thought of it. I think I'd read other reviews as well, like people like, oh, it's a bit try hard. Or
did
I
you let
found,
other people's reviews affect your review?
I don't know. Like, I think maybe sometimes people find essays like that, like when they're trying to be funny, quite labored, or I don't know, trying to make funny quips about things. But I really liked it. I thought it was really funny. And I'm surprised I only gave it 3.5 looking back.
I mean, 3.5 out of 5 is not bad.
It's good. Yeah, you have to reserve the fives for
the books. I mean, yeah, I'm the books. Very, very demanding when it comes to giving
are
fives.
Are you? You have to, they have to be amazing. Like, yeah. Got a high threshold. There you go.
It's only for like 50 Shades and Grey and stuff like that.
Oh, God.
Jokes. So my next one is... I read both of Sally Rooney's books last year, both Normal People and Conversations with Friends. Normal People was turned into a TV show that we also watched. We can comment on that.
Ooh, next week
on episode 2. Funnily enough, Conversations with Friends is also being turned into a TV show.
Yes, and
this year.
You preferred that, didn't you?
I preferred Conversations with Friends, and that's the one I'm going to be recommending. Sorry about that. And I'm going to read my review about this book.
How many stars?
I give it 5 stars.
Oh, there you go. Your high threshold. And you must have really liked it.
And I said I only gave 4 stars to Normal People.
Oh.
So you see that
controversial.
Difference. And I said, thoroughly enjoyed this book, !! So I must have really meant it. Having read Normal People as well, I'd say I've enjoyed this book more. The cadence, the story, the narrative, and the characters were addictive. The only less positive thing I have to say about this book is that it makes 32-year-old people sound way more mature and financially independent than what they are in real life. People at that age don't often have the big house and their careers and lives all sorted out. Ergo me. That's just a quick comment. Other than that, it was a brilliant read, and I do mean that. I feel like the dialogue was stronger. I feel like the characters were a bit more solid. I really enjoy Normal People, but I felt like Conversations with Friends, maybe because like Normal People happens throughout like secondary school and then university, whereas Conversations with Friends is, I think it's like last few years of university and then like starting your career, so obviously it's something that resonates closely or more closely with me. So yeah, I would recommend Conversations with Friends as well.
Great use of the word cadence in your review. And actually, I agree with what you say actually, because the difference, the person that's 32 in the book, they do make it seem that they are completely settled, married, everything's sorted out.
She owns a house or something like that. Like it's like,
yeah, I know what you mean. I feel like
I know it's in Ireland that it takes place. I think I want to say Dublin, but I'm not
I think
sure.
This one is Dublin. I can't remember,
but it does
do that thing of, it's that thing now as you get older, you're like, actually 30 isn't old, or 40 isn't old, or
most people are just getting pissed on the weekend, or at least they were before the pandemic. Like no one had money to like, I don't know, buy a house or whatever. But anyway, it was still like, I thought it was, I don't know if she wrote this one before Normal People, but I thought it was more exciting to read.
Okay, so this is my third and I think final recommendation.
Oh, okay, fine. Wait, are we only recommending 3? Because there's a lot of...
Oh, well, how many should we recommend?
I was going to do 5.
5? Okay, we can do 5 if you
want.
We'll
just keep it like, our reviews like shorter now.
Okay. So my third one is The Hotel New Hampshire by John Irving. Oh my gosh, I've never read anything like this book. It was amazing. The thing with John Irving, so he wrote The World According to Garp, which I've also read, and like this, the Cider House Rules, which I haven't read. He's written loads. He's a very, I would say, he's a very acquired taste. So... like they people used books. To say that. No, his books, sorry, they're very, I don't know, they're very strange. Anyway, I'll read my review first. So I gave this 5 stars and I said, wow, I don't think I can put into words what this book is like. One of the most memorable and unique things I've ever read. The recurring phrases, Jesus, God, and keep passing the open windows will stay with me forever. Such a beautiful, effortlessly complex story. The characters are so vivid, Franny and Frank especially. Highly recommend. So there you go, gushing. It's really hard to describe. It's a book about a family and the various things that happen to them as they open a series of hotels. And it's people say about John Irving, he's got various themes that he always covers, like bears, Vienna, prostitution, incest, kind of quite out there themes. But this book...
Did you write a book about a bear? that's a sex worker in Vienna.
I mean, you're not far off.
That's a story like waiting to be told. You're not far. I want to read about. It's like Paddington the Bear, but like X-rated.
Well, the thing is, when I read World According to Garp, now that is a strange book, and I definitely didn't like that as much. But this one, I flew through it. I loved it. Actually, my auntie gave it to me, and I had to message her afterwards, and I was like, oh my gosh, thank you for giving this to me. Because remember, I said to you, it was just one
shout
of the
out
books.
To your auntie.
Shout out to my auntie. It was one of the books that I just had on the shelf for ages that I'd been gifted for a birthday or Christmas or something, and it was like a surprise one. Like, I hadn't asked for it. Normally, I ask for my books. And this one, it was just so a surprise present. So it had been on the shelf for a while. And what a wonderful surprise when I picked it up. It was so good.
It's lovely when that happened.
It's like really absorbing story. Like, lots of strange things happen. And some people say that, oh, I couldn't suspend my belief, though, because it was a bit too strange. But I think he writes so well that of all the things that do happen that are a bit strange, I don't think it matters. So,
okay, so for my book three... And this one, I'll make it a quick one because it's going to be a double whammy again.
Oh!
And as you guys know, or some of you guys might know, I'm originally from Portugal. I mean, that's why we were in Lisbon. For book three, I'm going to recommend two books by two Portuguese authors. And I'm not going to go into much detail, but I also feel like I would be doing a disservice to Portuguese literature if I didn't mention these books, just because we're doing the podcast in English, and obviously we're predominantly talking about English-speaking literature, or literature that was, or books that were written in English. And one of the best books I read last year was actually the first book I read last year by Afonso Cruz, who's a Portuguese writer who I think I got introduced to thanks to my cousin Joana. And I really, really enjoy his books. I think I've read three of his books, and so far, they've all been really, really good. So Afonso Cruz, you guys should check it out. He's also got some books translated into English.
I'm sure they are, aren't they?
They're really, really good. And he's still, like, fairly young, maybe, like, 40s. And so he's one of, like, the new voices of Portuguese literature. And the second one is nonfiction, and it's a book by a journalist. And it's a book basically dedicated to or written about racism in Portugal. Obviously, Portugal is not different from many of the Western countries where racism gets denied. Like, people say that Portugal is not a racist country, that Portuguese people are not racist, and that we don't have systemic racism. And this is basically investigative journalism done by this journalist called Joana Henriques. And she just puts it, like, beautifully, the number of incidents and the people she speaks to that she interviews, who all can come from minority groups, and the way they've been basically just prejudiced against throughout their entire lives. And some of the stories are just heartbreaking, and it just shows you that obviously racism is everywhere. This shouldn't be news to anyone. And I think that book needs to be read by a lot of people, and that's why I could not mention this book, because it's quite powerful, and it's a topic that we all need to talk about. So definitely I would recommend this book by Joana Henriques, who is a journalist in Portugal. So over to you for your fourth and penultimate choice.
Okay, my fourth choice is... And I've probably just snatched this one from you. Is
it going to be the same as mine?
Probably. But we can do one together.
We can do that one together. If it's this one.
It is that one.
Of course. So maybe you can read your review and I can read my review.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So the recommendation is 4321 by Paul Auster.
And that's quite a tome.
That is... Is it 1,000 pages or just under?
No, it's just over.
Just over 1,000.
It's 1,100 pages, something like that.
So recommend to read it whilst you're on holiday. I think we both read it outside.
I think you read it... But after me, what didn't you?
Yeah, I mean, I read it in the most glorious setting, like outside in the sun.
By the pool.
Yeah, I just spent all day reading it, all day, every day. Okay, so this is my review. Again, I gave it 5 stars. There you go.
I think I may have some spoilers, so let me read mine.
Okay, I'll read mine. I don't think I have spoilers. It says, I can't not give this book 5 stars, an epic tale so ambitious and successful in its storytelling. It is a big commitment, and sometimes I found it hard to keep track of the different stories, but it was well worth it. Sometimes the offshoot stories in the stories felt a little bit longer than they could have been, but again, as a whole, I can't help but applaud Oster for such a literary feat. Oh my word. Who do I think I am?
That was beautiful.
Do you want to read your review?
Yeah, I can read mine. I mean, mine's going to like pale in comparison to yours.
You should have gone first.
I should have gone first. This book is both well written and imaginative. Paul Auster tells 4 versions of the same story, and although not all of them are as interesting or appealing to me, they are all well structured and with lots of depth and creativity. I'd have to say that stories number 3 and 4 are my favorite versions, whilst I found number 1 quite dry and slow moving at times. In the end, this book shows how powerful and creative Paul Auster is and how good of a writer he is.
There you go.
And that's it. It's just a beautiful, beautiful book with lots of twists and plot twists.
It's about, what's the main person's name again?
Oh, don't ask me that.
I've forgotten.
I'm awful with names. But well, the journey that he goes through in each of the 4 stories is just beautiful.
Yeah, so it's about 4 different
tales. I know his granddad's name, though.
Yeah.
Ichabod Ferguson.
Yeah. It's it's Ferguson. They just call him Ferguson the whole time, don't they?
Maybe just call him Ferguson, yeah.
It's a book about, yeah, a boy and the different paths his life could have taken, basically. And it's, yeah.
Almost like it was a multiverse, which ties very nicely with Devs, which is a show we just watched. But again,
and
we'll
review in episode 2.
There's lots of teasers.
Doing lots of good plugs here.
There's a lot of, it's just a beautiful book. I highly recommend it. It's not one that you want to carry around if you're like commuting to work because it's quite big and heavy. But if you're going to have a week or 2 weeks off, believe me, those 1,000 pages, you just fly through them because it's just so addictive. It's a beautiful, beautiful book.
It's good. It's really good.
So now for your 5th and final book, which one would you pick?
I'm going to pick In the Woods by Tana French, which is the first in the Dublin Murder Squad series. So for anyone that doesn't know Tana French, she's like a crime fiction writer. I think she's Irish, or her stories are certainly set in Ireland. And the first book I read by her was called The Witch Elm, which was a great book. So that's just a one-off, and it's like a crime book. And that reminded me actually a lot of The Secret History by Donna Tartt, which I just found out apparently is a really basic favourite book choice. But if you like The Secret History by Donna Tartt, highly recommend Tana French. She's the closest thing I've found to Donna Tartt, who's only got 3 books. So In the Woods, I will read you my review. I gave it 4 stars. And I said, there's a spoiler here, so I won't read all of it. But I said, I find French's characterization and dialogue so vivid, lyrical, and haunting. She has such a knack for describing people and places that I had to remind myself this was a work of fiction. She writes so well that I found myself rereading lots of sentences just to dwell on them. Here you go. Not 5 stars, because I felt I was a bit less interested once I found out who done it. But to be fair, that's true with most thrillers. Can't wait to read the next book in the series. Oh, that's a bit harsh. But basically, it's a crime fiction book, and it's, so there's a mystery to it. But I think what really stayed with me was, like I said in the review, the characters, the setting, everything. Like when a writer describes them so well, and that's what reminded me of Donna Tartt. And also what I liked about it is it's the first in a series, and I think there were like 10 or 12.
Oh wow.
I read a second one in 2020.
Her.
You should, like, I think your mum read them after I read them.
Mom, if you wanna, I don't know, just drop a message in the comments.
But yeah, that was really good, and that was the first one. And also I always get really excited, you know, if you love a book and it's part of a series, you're like, yes,
you can really,
I've
like,
got
immerse yourself.
Yeah, I've got so many more to go, so highly recommend that.
It's funny you mentioned that one, because my 5th book is going to be The Secret History by Donna Tartt, which was a book I read in March 2020.
Did you only read that in 2020?
Yes, I read The Goldfinch before, and then I read The Secret History.
Nice segue
year.
Then.
And my review was, I feel like the characters from this book will follow me around for a while, the same way Bunny and Henry followed the rest of the group after their demise. Tartt almost effortlessly creates a very realistic and visual universe where characters and audience meet. At times, it truly feels like we're witnessing the events unfold from the very first row. Really good and powerful read. And that's it.
I would agree with that.
I would have to say that it's hard, like having read 24 books last year, which is, it tends to be my average, like around 20 books. I don't know why I said I was going to read 12. I felt like...
Yeah, you always read around that.
I think it's because at the time I was working from home. Before the pandemic, I was already working from home. And because I didn't have the commute, I thought I will have less time to read because I did most of my reading before in the commute. Mm. So that's why I only said I wanted to read 12. But in the end, we were all stuck at home and reading was very much needed. That sort of like window to the world of like imagination.
Escapism, I think. Yeah, pure and escapism.
And it was just like the sense of normality of just like opening a book for like a couple of hours and just losing yourself in it. I think that's that's like why we all read in the end. So yeah, it was really, really good. I think it was hard to pick just five. I'm looking at the list here. I could have picked another two or three.
Me too.
But I think this is a solid group of books. And there's only one more thing we need to do, which is, as you know it, select our pet peeve. So, got a pet peeve for you.
I wonder what you're gonna do.
And my pet peeve is gonna be book related. And
oh my gosh, so on theme.
My pet peeve is all those people that what do you call it, like earmark the books?
Oh, dog ear.
Dog ear the books. I just
hate I'm
it.
With you on that.
I think that's just atrocious. I think those people need to be given lots of bookmarks for Christmas on their birthday.
Also, you're a very bookmark person. You've got loads of bookmarks.
I've got one that I've had for like 15 years.
Oh, right.
That I made myself.
Yeah, there you go.
But I've had it for like 15 years. So all these people just like defacing books. Stop doing it. The book is in pain. Don't do it anymore.
Yeah, I don't like it when people
don't. Don't do it. There's only one thing worse than doing that, which is getting a Kindle. and the only reason why I'm saying this is because
it's Amazon.
By the way, Amazon, if you're listening, which you probably are, we're open to sponsors. So just hit us up. And that's it. That was our first episode of season 2. Is there anything else you'd like to say to our listeners, Jen?
No, thank you. But yeah, I quite enjoyed that throwback to all the books I read. There were a couple I really could have missed out on, but I think that's a pretty good book year. But all of them, I look back and I think, no, they were really good.
Perfect. So we'll try to release maybe another episode in like 2 weeks' time, 2 to 3 weeks' time. As we said, episode 2 is going to be about the TV shows we watched in 2020. And there were a lot of TV shows.
Yeah, we'll do the same thing, but with things that we watch. But we've had a cracking year for TV as well, actually. So there'll be lots.
And then episode 3, we might do a bit into music. We'll see.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Because it was, I think, 2020 also a year where you had to like find other ways to entertain yourself. And there was so much TV that we watched. I feel like we watched all the Netflix catalogue from beginning to end.
A lot of consumption, yeah. That was the only thing to do. So there you go.
Thank you so much for listening. And we shall speak to you in a couple of weeks.
See you next week. Bye.